Well, Love praise the Lord. Radio.
Internet Radio Ministries.com. We're at www.livedeliverance.com. You can listen to us here at www.livedeliverance.com. We're also on Facebook and our own independent Internet Radio Ministries, which is a deliverance ministry. We have another deliverance minister. Here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio, we believe in casting out demons, speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, bringing healing, miracles, prophetic, prophecy. This is not a T.D. Jakes program. This is not a Jesse DePlantis program. This definitely ain't no Joe Osteen. We don't teach that. We bring the raw word of God. Now, if you brothers really want to change to hear this sister, this is an evangelist, African-American woman who I know, and she is a comrade. That means she's a veteran. So if you mess with her, you mess with me. I love her. She's a born-again Christian, a wonderful husband she has who's a deacon. She was in the United States Navy. She has changed her whole life. She has a very powerful testimony. She's a former prostitute, changed her life. She was on drugs. She gave her life to God. We're going to give it to her now. Evangelist Taylor, you got 1 hour and 55 minutes to go the full length or the length of your time. Uninterrupted. We got a lot of churches that's connected. Evangelist Taylor, you now have the mic.
Well, praise the Lord, church. I thank the Lord for Apostle Emmett Overton allowing me to come to you tonight on livedeliverance.com. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. And that music that you heard, I Got Joy, you can get that CD by going to cdbaby.com, or you can find it on iTunes, or you can write me at P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 270051. You can also sow a seed there. We are Walls of Fire, Deliverance, MIN.com. We can be reached by phone at area code 336-575-0206, by email at jet245@msn.com. So we're going to get right into this message tonight. I am going to take my time because the enemy has fought us for a whole week trying to keep this message off the air. I'm so glad that you all are tuned in, and I pray that you will take notes tonight. I've asked God to edify his people and to use me for that purpose, but I've also asked God to anoint me afresh and that he would be glorified. So I'm going to get out of the way and let God have his way. So let's get started. For those of you that have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And the word of the Lord reads, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Ye be reproached for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." And then go over with me to 1 Peter 1 and 7. 1 Peter 1 and 7 reads, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Well, our topic tonight is none other than tried by fire. If I were to use a subtopic, it would be the sanctification process. Now, the word of God tells us plainly to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Every time something happens or comes against us as believers, we act as if something strange has happened. We get all bent out of shape, and we just seem like we fall apart. Now, as long as things are going good, we got it. But the minute something comes against us, we fall to pieces. Now, the Bible tells saints of God or believers, instead of falling to pieces, instead of getting all bent out of shape, that we are to rejoice. So why? I want to ask the question tonight, why do we allow a trial or a test or a fiery trial or a temptation to get us all bent out of shape? And as if, you know, when something adverse happens, saying, you know, we start whining and complaining, saying, why did God let this happen? Or why do good people, those who are serving the Lord and are sold out to him, have to suffer so many heartaches and hardships? First of all, it's time that we stop the whining and let God sanctify us. God takes all believers through the sanctification process. If you're a child of God, and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you are sold out to the Lord, you are going through the sanctification process. Why? Because in the beginning, I want to share this with you because the Lord revealed this to me. In the beginning, the Bible says that God created man in his image and likeness. Now, I want you to remember that. And so here come these trials and these tests that we have to go through in life. Well, what is that all about? God uses these things to purify us like gold. We remember that Job said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So I want to talk to you about gold for a minute because I actually did research. I called a goldsmith in New York. He works with gold and he works with diamonds. And this man told me some things that I didn't know. The first thing that we all know that God uses fire to purify. Fire purifies things, okay? But let's talk about gold and fire. Gold must be heated at very high temperatures to get the dross to rise to the top so that it can be removed. When Christians are being tried by fire, God allows it because it is only in the sanctification process that God can get the junk out of us. You see, so he allows us to go through the fire. Notice I focus on the word through. He allows the fire to be made hot because the dross won't rise to the top. It will stay in the gold. So this goldsmith that I talked to in New York, a man named Lenny, he told me about the different types of gold. He told me about 24 karat gold, which is pure gold. He said the other golds, like 18 karat, 14 karat, and 10 karat gold, they have what is called alloy. They have a mixture. They have something else mixed in there. He said the 18 karat gold has some silver in it. In other words, the less number carats that you have, the less pure the gold is. Now, when God was creating the temple, he had these craftsmen building and creating the vessels that would go in the temple, and everything was to be overlaid with pure gold. God didn't want any alloy, so no 18 karat, no 14 karat, no 10 karat gold. Only 24 karat gold could be used in the temple. So as I said, gold has to be heated. It has to be tried in fire that is very, very hot. Now, this goldsmith from New York, he told me that gold can be stretched. Boy, that blessed my socks off. He told me that gold could be stretched a mile. So when God is allowing us to go through trials that are, when we are being tried by fire, it is God's method of stretching us. Glory be to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. God is stretching us. So the hotter the temperature is, the more pliable the gold is and the more it stretches. Lenny told me that this gold can be stretched out for a mile. So you think you can't be stretched past what you're going through. You can be stretched more than that. And God allows the heat from these fiery trials to stretch us. This is also the manner of removing the dross, getting the dross out. Now, what is dross? Dross is the part of the gold that is trash. It has no value. As a matter of fact, if it stays in the gold, it will decrease the value. So God is getting everything out of you that he can't use. Glory be to God. He's getting the bad attitudes out of you. He's getting the how you fly off the handle at people. He's getting the depression out of you. He's getting the pity parties that we like to have. He's getting those things out. God is getting a junk out of us. He's getting everything out of us that don't bring him no glory. So we, instead of whining and complaining, we need to say to God, not my will, but thy will be done. So God allows the gold to go through the sanctification process. You are the gold. You and I, we as believers are the gold. And we go through the sanctification process so that God can get the junk out of us. He allows us to go through the fire. Now, he allows the fire to be made hot. Job said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When gold reaches its purest form, it shines like a mirror. Lenny also taught me that, is that it shines like a mirror, and you can see a reflection of yourself in pure gold. Well, now let's go back to this passage that I told you in the beginning. When God created man, he created man in his image and likeness. So when we go through trials, when we go through tribulations, when we go through tests, fiery trials and tribulations and tests and temptations, God allows it because when he looks at us, he wants to see the reflection of his son Jesus in us. So when he looks at us, he wants to see himself in us. Glory be to God. He wants to see his likeness, his image, his attributes, not us, not the dross, but him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So if we look at Genesis 1 and 27, let's look at that. I really want to teach tonight. Let's look at Genesis 1 and 27. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The word of God is going to be rich tonight. It's not to say that it's not rich on other occasions. I believe that it's always rich on this station. So let's look. Genesis 1 and 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female, created he them. So God is not looking for another image. When he looks at us as pure gold, 24 karat pure gold that's been tried by fire, he is looking to see his image in us, his reflection, his likeness, his attributes. Glory be to God. And that is pure and holy. God in us. God loves his children, and he's not out to destroy us as many think. Only wants to purify us. Now, fire purifies. It gets out all the impurities. Glory be to God. If we remember in the book of Daniel, we saw where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into a fiery furnace, and the heat was turned up 7 times hotter. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he looked in. He knew he had thrown in 3. Matter of fact, I want to talk about the heat for a minute. The heat was turned up so hot that the men that threw them in the fiery furnace, they burnt up. And the heat was turned up 7 times hotter than it normally was. What is 7? 7 is the number of completion. So Nebuchadnezzar, he looked in the fiery furnace. And when he looked in, he saw a 4th person. He said, wait a minute, I know we threw in 3, but I see a 4th man. That is, he said, that looks like the Son of God. Now, let me tell you something. When you are going through a fiery trial, God is in that with you. He has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. So he gets in the fire, glory be to God. That's why the three Hebrew boys didn't burn up, because the Son of Man was in the fiery furnace with them. That's a lesson to us. No matter how hot the trial you and I may be going through, and sometimes they get very hot. I'm going to talk about some things in a few minutes, but sometimes those trials get very hot, but you're not going to burn up if you stay faithful to the Lord. Glory be to God. It's not going to destroy you. It's going to purify you, because Hebrews tells us that our God is a consuming fire, but he's not going to burn you up. He's going to consume you with the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, you can't do nothing for God without the Holy Ghost. And we have so many people trying to teach and trying to preach and trying to prophesy, trying to sing, trying to minister, trying to do all these things for God without his Spirit. It's dead. It's dead. I'm telling you, it's dead. There's no life in it. There's no anointing in it. There's just nothing. It's just, the Bible says, sounding brass. It's just sounding brass. But it's time out for that foolishness. We need the fire. We need the anointing of God. Glory be to God. We have to stay in God's presence. Glory be to God. And let God get out of us everything. You know about them nasty attitudes, because you know how they come on you. You just get a nasty attitude, and then you fly out your mouth with all kind of crazy stuff, and then you have to go and repent. And sometimes people don't even repent. You know, we have lost the art of apologizing to people. We need to humble ourselves and apologize. When you know you wrong, when you know you said something that wasn't right, you need to apologize. You need to apologize to the person, and you need to apologize to God, and be quick about it. Glory be to God. Don't let these things linger. So Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were in the fiery furnace, and the furnace was turned up 7 times hotter than it normally was. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about fire itself. You know, we've been having these wildfires out in California, and boy, they couldn't do anything with those wildfires. But sometimes those fires just ravage such a large area that what a fireman has to do is start a second fire around the first fire. That's called a control fire. You see, the second fire will control the first fire. Well, who is the second fire? The second fire, his name is Jesus Christ. When you're walking through a fiery trial, the second fire, you need that second fire, glory be to God, to control the first fire from consuming you, from burning you up. And that's what Jesus is. That's what he has promised to do. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. He said, if they make my bed in hell, I'm going to be there. Glory be to God. If I ascend above the clouds, he is there. There is nowhere that you and I as believers can go to get out of the presence of God. He is with us when we are being tried by fire. Job, he went through so much. I want to turn there for a minute. Job went through so much. And the things that he went through, it was just unimaginable, you know. But guess what? Job, in all of this, Job did not curse God. Now, the Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So he is a good guy. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and that escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge round about him? And so the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine hand. So Satan had been given a power or authority to touch Job's whole life. The only thing he couldn't touch was his actual life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I escaped alone to tell. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am escaped alone to tell it. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their house, in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And this is what Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You see, so many times when we are going through trials, fiery trials, we begin to question God. We begin to question our relationship. We begin to ask God, where are you? We begin to doubt God. If God is real, why he letting me go through this? If God is good, why do I have to suffer this? If God is all that, why did this happen upon me? It's a fiery trial, and God has allowed it because God wants to get the junk out of us. He has to get us to where we are pure gold. And that is what Job said over in the 42nd chapter. Job said, no, it's not the 42nd, it's the 23rd, chapter 23 and verse number 10. This is what Job said. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. See, we want to come forth as gold, but we want to be counterfeit gold. We don't want to come forth as pure gold. We want some mixture. We want some alloy. But there will be no mixture in heaven. We're going to have to come forth as pure gold in order to spend eternity the Lord. And so Job said, after he has tried me, but you know what? Job said, if he slay me, yet will I trust him. See, we've got to trust God who is sovereign. We've got to believe that God knows what he is doing. So what God allows, we should not come against it. We don't need to fight it. We need to just trust God because God is in control. He's sovereign, and he knows what he's doing. God knows what he's after. God knows what's in you better than you know what's in you. You know, when Jesus was crucified, Peter thought that he was going to stand with him. He thought that he would stand with him to the very end. He thought that he would not only stand with him, but that he would die with him. But let me tell you something. When it came down to it, when the rubber met the road, Peter chickened out, and Peter denied even knowing Jesus Christ. See, God, Jesus knew that that was in Peter. Peter spoke presumptuously. He was impulsive, and he spoke presumptuously. And Jesus already knew that. And so he told him. He said, the cock will crow three times. He said, and you will deny me. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter did exactly what the Lord said. I want to talk about a diamond for a minute, because the same man, Lenny, who told me about the gold, he also explained to me something about a diamond. He said a diamond, only a diamond can cut a diamond. And a diamond is produced by pressure. It's graphite and it's endurable. It's 100% pure. A diamond can be heated until fiery red and it won't be damaged. No other jewel or gem or any such element in the earth can withstand the heat that a diamond can withstand and maintain its properties. So, you know, when we're going through something, we have to see ourselves as diamonds in the rough. We have to go through extensive heat and pressure. There are some places that we have to go through, and we wonder, Lord, what was this all about? Why did I have to go through there? But I'm going to tell you something. Let us remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, that at the end, he took up the fragments. Why? And there were 12 baskets. Why? Because nothing is ever wasted in the kingdom. We have to remember that everything that you and I go through as believers is serving a purpose. It's serving God's purpose. And God knows what he is doing. He's sovereign. God's been doing this for eternity. He didn't just start doing this. He's been doing this forever. And so we have to go through those challenges, face those obstacles and those trials so that we can become like that diamond, or we can become like pure gold, so that when Jesus, my God, when we stand before the Lord Jesus, God will see the reflection of his son in us. He won't see you and he won't see me, but he will see himself. Glory be to God. You know, gold, when gold is in its purest form, it will shine. It will shine like glass. Yes, gold will shine like glass. That's another thing that Lenny told me. And you can see your reflection in gold. But that's what God is looking for. He is looking to see the image of his son in us. That is why he allows us to be tried by fire. Glory be to God. Now, when we look in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 43:2, thank you, Jesus. I am so grateful tonight to be able to share this word with you. Isaiah 43:2, it says, I'm going to start at the first verse. It said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. God takes pleasure. He took ownership of us when we received the blood of Jesus, when we were washed in the blood. Hallelujah. He purchased us, and he took ownership of us. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been through some situations. My God, I've been through some situations. Hallelujah. And they hurt. They were extremely painful. You know, I had family members. Now, Jesus said that a prophet is without honor, save in his own household. I had family members that came against me so badly They treated me so badly. I wasn't invited to the family cookout. They didn't want me there because the light in me shined up the darkness. And some of them were professing to be Christians. They treated me so badly. They talked about me. You know, the apostle was telling tonight my testimony, so I'm going to go ahead and share that. For more than 13 years, I was strung out on crack cocaine. I was a prostitute. I was in the street. I was raped repeatedly. I was beaten. I was even once stabbed and left for dead in an alley. And God, he saved me. He saved me when nobody expected God to save me, when nobody thought that God could save me. But the Lord saved me, and he delivered me, and he set me free, and he put his spirit in me. And so when I got saved, I made a vow to God. I said, I will serve you till I die. I said, Lord, if you will forgive me and save me, I will serve you till I die. I got saved in the Forsyth County jail in the basement, folding sheets and towels. I didn't get saved. There was no preacher there. There was no choir there. It was just me and the Lord Jesus and a song that came on the radio that brought the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I began to weep before the Lord. I began to apologize to God for the sinful, wicked life that I had lived. And I asked God, please don't let me die and go to hell, but to give me one more chance. You know, I did not ask God to give me a place to stay. I was homeless when I went to jail. I was indigent. I was so malnourished, and I was so dehydrated. And guess what? I had been in and out of jail. This was nothing new, but this was something different taking place this time. I used to go to jail and would get in the little circle with the people and the church people and say the sinner's prayer. But this was different. This time it was for real. This was initiated by Jesus Christ. He came to me. He met me where I was. And that's why I know if you really want to be saved, he will meet you where you at. He still makes house calls. He visited me that day in the basement of the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Jail. I was down there and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord because I really wanted to be saved. I really wanted to be set free. I was making so much noise that an officer of the jail from upstairs heard me, and he came downstairs into the basement, into that laundry room, and he said, what is all this racket going on? And the girls, there were six women. We were working that day doing the jail's laundry. Those women told him, leave her alone. She's just talking to God. Now, this was a man of authority. He had authority to lock me back down, but he didn't because he recognized there was a greater authority in that room, and it was the Lord Jesus. He met me that day, and he gloriously saved me that day. I didn't have an address, but I knew that I was never going to use drugs and alcohol again. I was never going to be a street prostitute again. I didn't even know if the judge was going to send me back to prison because I had been to prison twice, and I didn't want to be a three-time loser. I didn't even know, but I didn't try to will and deal with God. I didn't try to bargain with him. I didn't say, I'll serve you if you give me this, or I'll serve you if you do that, or I'll serve you if you don't let me go back to prison. I just simply said, Lord, if you save me, I will serve you till I die. And that was 28 years ago. And let me tell you something. The women that were in the basement of that jail, they heard my confession. They saw my tears. They saw me. They saw me repent to the Lord. And so they went back to their cell blocks and they told their friends what had happened to me down in that basement. And some of them bet against me. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back on crack. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back to shooting. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back in jail. But thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. It's been 28 years, and God has kept me by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to give all the glory tonight to God. You see, that was a trial. That was a fiery trial that I went through. But God allowed it because he was going to bring me into the kingdom of God. And God said, I don't have to throw this girl away. I can fix her and I can use her. And that's what God specializes in. He takes the weak things of this world to confound the wise. He takes base things, things that are not. He takes them and he uses them for his glory. For God have not chosen the foolish things of the world to confound. I mean, God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty and base things of the world and things which are despised. I was despised and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So I thank and praise God that I was a nothing, but I was a nothing and a nobody, but God specializes in taking nothing and making something out of it. And he specializes in taking nobodies and making somebody out of them. And I give God all the praise tonight. All the praise belongs to him, for he have done great things. So we need to stop complaining when we are going through the fire, because you're just being tried by fire, and the fire is burning up what is not pleasant to God, what he can't use. Let us remember the altar in the Old Testament. The altar was to have fire burning on it at all times. The scripture says in Leviticus 6 and 13 that the light in the temple was never to go out. There was always to be fire burning on the altar. And so what I get from that is that whenever we put the sacrifice on the altar, whatever you put on that altar, God will allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn it up. If you got sin in your life, put it on the altar. If you got something that you're struggling with, put it on the altar. If you got a bad attitude, put it on the altar, and God will burn that thing up. If you got a habit of lying, put it on the altar, and the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn that thing up. And if you notice, these churches today, they don't even have altars anymore. They have redesigned churches where they no longer have altars, and these pastors no longer make altar calls. Nobody goes to the altar anymore to get on the altar and weep. The Bible tells us in Joel that the ministers are to weep between the porch and the altar, but ain't nobody weeping over sin anymore. Why? Because there are no more altar calls. I used to spend so much time on the altar, but I made an altar here in my house because I still weep before the Lord. I still weep over sin. I weep over my sin. I weep over the sins of the world. I still weep on the altar. I still go to God when I mess up. I weep before the Lord. It grieves me to grieve the Lord. Glory be to God. That's a sure sign that you are saved. When you grieve over sin, that's a sure sign that you are born again. Glory be to God. If you can just sin and walk away from it like it's no big deal, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we cannot continue to use grace as gravy for sin. We cannot. We have to weep over our sins, the sins of this nation and the sins of the world, because we sin so grievously against our Savior on a daily basis. Glory be to God. So we need to stop complaining, stop whining and crying because we're being tried, tried by fire. It's good for us. Glory be to God. The scripture says, these afflictions are but light afflictions, but they are good for us. They worketh for our good. Glory be to Hallelujah. I want to look at 1 Peter 5 and 10. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and 10, and this is what it says. It says, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You see, this is what the fire does. It will make you perfect. It will establish you. It will strengthen you. And it will settle you. And it will get all of the uncleanness and the impurities out of you. Everything that God can't use must be burnt by fire. Glory be to God. It must be destroyed. It must be. There's no sin, no hell going to heaven. Glory be to God. It must be. Let me talk about the Apostle Paul for a minute. You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians and 2 and 11. When we look at the sufferings of Paul, Paul said, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. He said, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Twice I was shipwrecked. I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. You think people not going to lie on you? You think people not just going to accuse you and make up stuff? You think people not going to be envious and jealous of you? In pain, Paul suffered in his body. And watching sleeplessness, Paul, there were days that Paul couldn't even get any sleep, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, and in cold and nakedness, besides other things which come upon me daily, and the care of the churches. But the Bible says, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution, and we are to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Glory be to God. I want to look at Isaiah 53. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Isaiah 53. I want to talk. You talk about suffering. Good God Almighty. Let's look at the sufferings of Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Starting at the 3rd verse. He said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, and that word bruised means crushed. And, oh, glory be to God. I'm going to deal with that word in a minute. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Listen at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to crush him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Hallelujah. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You got these people that are going around telling you that God don't want you to suffer. The devil is a liar. The scripture tells us that if we suffered with him, we shall also reign with him. And as Christ suffered, we are to arm ourselves likewise. So don't let nobody deceive you. Part of the Christian life is suffering. We're going to be tried by fire. Glory be to God. But the fire is not to destroy us. The fire is to get everything out of us that God can't use. The fire of God is to purify us so that when he looks at us, he will see the reflection of his son in us. So I want to read to you something that I found out about the Apostle Paul. Paul was dedicated to serving God, but that did not mean God gave him a smooth and painless life. His letter to the Colossian Christians was written from a prison cell in Rome where he was awaiting trial. There were many excuses Paul could have used to justify giving up, but instead he persevered. Paul understood that he was where he was by the will of God. Paul understood that the persecution, that the 40 stripes, being beaten with rods, being stoned, being shipwrecked, a day and a night in the deep, he understood wherever he was at any time, it was by the will of God. See, we give the devil too much credit. We keep saying, the devil doing this to me, the devil doing that. No, you being tried by the fire of God. Paul understood this. He knew that God had a purpose and a plan for his life, and he was willing to pay the price to fulfill his calling. Are you willing to pay the price to fulfill your calling? Or do you just want to continue whining and moaning and complaining? You know, we need to think about the children of Israel when they continued whining and moaning and murmuring and complaining. What happened to them? Not one of them over a certain age made it into the promised land. My God, what a travesty. What a travesty. They didn't make it because they murmured and complained against the Lord God Almighty. Paul understood that even when human help, it just was nowhere to be found, he knew that God would never desert him. God always knows where we are and what we should do. And we just need to ask him, even in the midst of a storm, ask God, what are you trying to teach me? What is in this? What is the purpose of this? Not our purpose or our liking to it, but God, what is it that you are trying to get out of me through this? You know, Jesus, when he was in the garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, he did ask three times that if it were possible to let this cup pass from him. But in the same breath, he turned around and he said, but not my will, Lord, thy will be done. So we need to stop the complaining, whining, and murmuring, because the fire is going to give us endurance. It will, when we are tried by fire, it's going to give us the endurance. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. Glory be to God. The endurance, the patience, the meekness, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, and the long-suffering. We need to let God have his way. Glory be to God. The fire might get hot, but it won't destroy you. Our God is with us, and all he wants to do is purify us. He wants to consume us with himself. Glory be to God. He wants his children to be full of him. And sanctification is a process. So when he looks at us after we have been tried by fire, like Job said, we can come forth as pure gold. And in pure gold, the purest form of gold, which is 24 karat gold, God should be able to look at us and see the reflection of his son, Jesus Christ. The trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Amen? Amen. May God bless you tonight. May heaven smile on you. I am praying that this message helped you to understand what it means that when we go through trials and we are tried by fire. And I want to share this, that the scriptures tell us, and Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose, but his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Glory be to God, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God allows us to suffer and to be tried by fire so that when he looks at us, he will see the image of his son, Jesus Christ, and we shall be like pure gold, having no dross or sin in us. That is the purpose of being tried by fire. So I'm going back to the very first scripture that says that think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Scripture says, rejoice. Amen. Glory be to God. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor tonight signing off. You know, I also want to share this. The Apostle Paul, when he went up to Jerusalem, he knew that he was going to be martyred there. He knew his life was going to end there. And his friends, one of the prophets, had forewarned him and told him that he had seen in a vision what was going to happen to Paul and for him not to go. And they all started weeping and crying. And they told Paul, don't go. This is what awaits you. And this is what Paul said in Acts 20 and 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So we ought to count it all joy. Count it all joy when you go through these fiery trials. Count it all joy when you are being tried by fire. Count it all joy and think it not strange. The Bible says these trials are here not to destroy us, but to make us into his image and likeness, so that when God sees us, he will see the reflection of his own dear son, Jesus Christ. So tonight we can say, Lord, send the fire. Send the fire, Lord. Lord, send the fire. The fire is to sanctify you and purify you and make you holy. You know, Apostle and I, we were talking the other night. You don't even hear messages today on holiness and righteousness. Brother John talked about it last night, what it means to be holy. It means to be set apart for God, to be set apart. You don't run with the crowd. You're going to be set apart for his glory and for his use. And so with that, we're going to be tried. We're going to be tried by fire. You know, some of the things that happened to me along the way in my Christian walk, it was Christians that did these things to me. I suffered. But all of that, and I cried. I did. I did a lot of crying, especially when I was a baby Christian. But all of these things have worked together for my good. I consider them but light afflictions. Glory be to God. God was using these people, and the fire was to purify me. The fire was to show me, first of all, what was in me that I thought wasn't there, and then the fire was also to burn up everything in me that didn't glorify God. And I thank God for the fire. There were many nights that I cried. I cried, but I didn't die. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fire. I give God praise tonight for being tried by fire. May God bless you. May heaven smile on you. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Our web address is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. If you'd like to sow a seed, that's where you need to send it to. P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. Our phone number is 336-575-0206, and our email address is J-E-T. You can get the CD. It's called A New Beginning, and the song that Apostle plays most of the time is I Got Joy. You can get that at cdbaby.com or at iTunes. We bless the Lord for you. We thank God for your attention here tonight. I just give God praise just for the opportunity to stand before God's people and proclaim the name of the Lord, and that he may be glorified in all of this. Father, I thank you and I bless your holy name. So we just want to give God praise tonight. I pray that you are being tried by fire, and that you know that you are in the will of God. You are being sanctified by the only one who has the ability to sanctify you. He knows how much fire you can stand, but he also knows how much fire you need. He knows what's in you and what to burn up. He's not going to burn up anything good. He's just going to burn up the part that he can't use. May God bless you. May heaven smile on you. And this is Evangelist Janet Taylor. This is our message for tonight. Tried by fire, the sanctification process. Amen. Apostle Emmett Overton, service now back in your hands. Well, let's just pray. Let me just pray for some people tonight, those that are listening in. Father, it's in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this message tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to share the word of God with your people. We thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the revelation that has been poured out. I pray, oh God, that you gave them ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church tonight. I pray, oh God, that they would receive this word and that it would make a difference in their lives, that they would be changed, that they would no longer murmur and cry and whine and complain, because they now understand what it means to be tried by fire. They now understand that it is the purification process and that you take every believer through this, oh God, in the name of Jesus, but it is to bring forth the precious, pure gold, so that when you look at us, you will see the reflection of your son, Jesus Christ, in us. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen your people. I pray, oh God, that you would give them the desire to continue with you. Somebody's going through being tried by fire right at this moment. And Lord, my prayer is that they have been strengthened tonight, that they have been given a fresh wind, hallelujah, to go another round, glory be to God. I am praying tonight, hallelujah, for their children, for their family members and loved ones to be saved and to be set apart for your glory and for your use, oh God. I am praying tonight that this word will go out, oh God, and that it will bring back a harvest, oh God. It will not return unto you void. Somebody's going to get the message tonight, God, that what they're going through is not the devil. They are being tried by fire. Glory be to God. The fire of God, hallelujah. God, you're purifying somebody's heart tonight. You're purifying somebody's mind tonight. Oh, God, the fire of God will burn up everything that you can't use, oh, God. And we ask that you would continue the purification process, oh, God. Continue, oh, God, to shape us and mold us into what you would have us to be. Continue the good work that you have begun, which you have promised to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Continue, oh God, hallelujah, in the lives of your people, oh God. Continue to teach us and to shape us and mold us into your image and likeness, oh God. We are praying tonight that your people, hallelujah, glory be to God, will receive this word on tonight and that they will be blessed. Even down in their spirit, man, oh God, that those tears would dry up, oh God, that they would know that you have not left them, nor have you forsaken them, because you promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us, but you are with them, even in the fire. Glory be to God in the highest. And God, you know just when to bring them out. You know just how to bring them out, God. You know how to deliver, God. And when the time is right, oh God, you will deliver. As the word of God says that after we have been tried, hallelujah, you will strengthen us, you will settle us, and make us perfect, oh God. And we thank you. We thank you tonight, God, for your promise. Hallelujah. After we have suffered a while, God, you said you would perfect us and strengthen us and settle us, oh God. And so we thank you tonight. We give glory to you, God. We thank you for every trial and every test. The word of the Lord says, in all things, give thanks. And we receive it, God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. It may not always feel good. Glory be to God. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a fresh anointing. Thank you for fresh manna. Thank you, God, that you are building, hallelujah. You are building us into a new creation, hallelujah. You are doing a new thing in us, God, and it's working for our good. It's working for our good because at the end, God, we want to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord, hallelujah. And we give thanks unto you, and we bless your holy name. Father, we love you tonight. We trust you even the more. Even though we're being tried by fire, we trust you even the more. We give glory to you, God. We give glory to your name. And we thank you, God. We thank you that the enemy, hallelujah, is not ruling and reigning. He's not in control, but you're in control. You're sovereign, and you rule and you reign. Hallelujah. And our life is in your hands. And we thank you tonight. In Jesus' holy name, we give praise unto you, and we bless the name of the Lord. As the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together, for the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We bless your holy name, Jesus, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.